we are not meant to be quiet about the transformation that's already brought forth in your life. And so as you, the word says that as you begin your life with Christ, so therefore continue in it. Who told you to be quiet? Who told you to quench? Claire, I know you like hang out with my wife. Like there's transformation in your life and you can't help but tell people. Who told you that this is something to sit down? Because I'm telling you, whoever oppressed you, you are free. You are free to tell people about the transformation. And I'm telling you, it's like, well, I don't know if it's a little uncomfortable. I told them, like, I feel with the Holy Spirit, and then I start, like, praying in tongues with them. And it's like, man, you tell people what God is doing in your life. You're free to tell people. As you begin, like a young child, like a newborn baby into the faith, you can't help but believe. I will never forget when I first heard the topic we're talking about. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Now, I know, listen, I may have heard this 50 times, and you may have just heard that, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's, I don't understand that. My hope is this, that tonight you'll understand it in a way that you won't be able to contain it for yourself. God's got something incredible for you tonight. He's got transformation, and it's more than you can contain. It's more than you can bottle up. And I'm telling you, what you guys are doing for Revive, it's not a small deal. It's not a small deal that you're bringing your kids and you're committing Tuesday nights. It's not a small deal that you're doing it as couples and you've committed to doing it together. And it's not a small deal that you're bringing the word, because I'm telling you, the enemy is like, I can't get in. They've built a fortress around. And it's like, because here's what you've done. You said, Jesus, I want to know everything that you've got for me. I don't want to just be a Sunday morning dweller. I don't want to just be somebody who gets a little bit, or somebody who used to get. Some of you guys are not young in the faith. You're like on year 40, and you're like, I still got to get more, because there's an unquenchable appetite for the kingdom that was birthed in you, and it's Jesus. And so tonight we're just going to go in. Andy called me like 3 hours ago, and he's like, Tim, can you help? And I said, hey, I can always talk about identity. So I threw a few notes together, and you guys maybe the first time I preach in under 45 minutes in 5 months. you guys, it's like a ministry training program. I can be extremely transparent. I am so excited. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Pastor Tim. I get to pastor at the greatest church in Wichita, Kansas, the greatest church in Kansas, greatest church in the country. And if you've got a church that you're called to, you know that where you're called to plant is exactly where you want to be. And so whether you go to our church or not, it's okay. Just go to church, because God's got a body for you to be a part of. His bride is precious. Before I dive in here, I just want to recognize Tiffany Fruits, my wife. She's not here tonight, which means I can say anything I want, and I can tell you guys all about. And you guys are recording, right? Yeah, she'll probably listen. That's great. I just want to be transparent, because you guys are being transparent and open and honest. And thank you guys so much for those of you that are going the extra mile and doing the study work throughout the week, and you're taking it and you're saying, no, you know what? I don't want to only attend Revive. I want to go through Revival. And there is Tiff. Ladies and gentlemen, Tiffany Fruits. Can you like wave? She's beautiful. That's my wife. If you're like, hey, who's that random lady? It's my wife. I don't get that excited about anybody else on earth. Gosh, what was I talking about? Jesus? Shh. 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 I'm sure I was talking about something else. Talking about God's love? No. Was I? Revival. This is Revive, and I'm convinced that revival happens when we allow revival to happen. Nowhere in the Word can I find that one day God is just going to, he already has. Jesus paid the price for everything. And one day, people already are. They're coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ already. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit right now. So what stops revival? God will go as far as you will let him go in your life. and God will go in your community as far as you will let him go through you. And so when you decide, I'm going to let this transformation come here and come out of here, revival comes. When a guy came to church this Sunday, and he had moved here from somewhere else. He's not in here. And I said, do you know anybody here? And he says, I follow Eric. He doesn't know me, but I follow Eric on social media. And I was like, well, you should meet that guy. He'll be up front worshiping. And he's like, cool, yeah. But he like came, he said, I said, well, how'd you find out about the church? He said, well, I just Googled Spirit-filled churches. And what I'm saying is our lives, when we let Jesus into our social media platforms, and we let Jesus into our voice, and we let Jesus into our work. Guys, can I just tell you this? I don't care if you lose your job if you're talking about Jesus. You should. If somebody's going to fire you for, now listen, you got to do it out of love, and you got to do it Holy Spirit led. But if you're like, man, I might lose my job, then you probably should definitely talk about Jesus in that place. The Bible says you should be of good joy. You should throw a cheer even, for if you get persecuted because of the name of Jesus, that's what happens to all the saints who are before you. So I'm not avoiding persecution. I'm going to run into it. And I'm not talking like, I'm not talking we should pray for persecution. People don't always love Jesus. The church has to go after people, and you have to let people know about the transformation. Revival happens when you let it come out of your mouth. Because transformation is happening. Otherwise, you guys wouldn't sign up for session two if transformation wasn't already happening. Transformation's happening. More transformation. It's like pile upon pile of transformation. And so why isn't it happening to everybody? Because you haven't grabbed somebody by the shoulders and drug them to church. You've told them, well, I mean, I'm kind of busy on Sunday. No. I'm telling you, we bring people. You bring transformation. And so what's Revive about? It's about establishing a revival culture in Wichita, Kansas. And it starts in you, but it doesn't stop. There's nowhere in the Word where God wants to do something great in you, and he doesn't want to do it in other people. Jesus was restoring Peter, who betrayed Jesus. And he said, do you love me? And they said, yeah, I'm Peter. I'm kind of your favorite. He said, but do you love me? And he says, yeah. He says, then you'll feed my sheep. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus is like, Peter said to Jesus, you're stuttering. Like, yes, you know my heart, Lord. You're my risen Savior. You know all things. Yes, you know I love you. He says, then you'll take care of my sheep. And he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's getting, what is Jesus trying to instill in the rock, the foundation of the church of his bride? What's he trying to instill? If you love him, you'll bring transformation to those around you. If you love him, you'll take that love that you've received. Because this, Jesus said, what if he didn't? Then Jesus would have been the Savior for 12. Well, what if they didn't go stay in that room? What if they never left that room and they said, the Holy Spirit's so good for us? Look at the church. It's us 40 and it's so amazing. But they received the transformation and they flooded out into the streets. And what happened? The first Holy Spirit revival happened. Revival happens when you let what God's done in you flow from you. And we are not a church, and we are not a program, and we are in no place to hoard Jesus for ourselves. So we're going to let transformation come in. You guys okay with that? Welcome to Revive. I think there's like, is that what Andy usually does? Like, is that how he starts up? Something like that? Andy's not here, so we're going to do it our own way. Emma, where are you at? Is Emma in here? Will you explain what the handout they have? Hey, you guys appreciate Emma?
Thank you. Hi, friends. Okay, so if you came in late and you didn't get one of these sheets, raise your hand real quick. And would you mind taking it to them? Thanks, Pastor Tim. I appreciate you. I felt kind of good. Okay, so declarations that Andy, this is your challenge, says it at the top. I will speak these over myself every day this week. Say it with me. I will speak these over myself every day this week. Maybe 3 times a day, maybe 5 times a day. And just going through them, I actually got to use this today. And what was cool was I was speaking them over myself, and there's this lie that snuck in that was like, this is so selfish of you. Why are you doing this? And I was like, yeah, why am I doing this, Lord? And he was like, because they're truth, and you need truth spoken over your mind. You need your brain saturated in truth, and you need your heart saturated in truth, and you need your body saturated in truth, and you need your spirit saturated in truth, and you need your hands saturated in truth, and you need your mouth saturated in truth. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm going to speak these over myself. And so I wrote them down because I am a writer, and I found that out in high school when I had to memorize Bible verses, and everyone just did it like this in their head, and they're like, got it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll get it too. And then I didn't get it. I had to write it on the front and the back of a piece of paper to get it. And so if you're like, you don't know how to get saturated in the Word of God, or you don't know how to get saturated in these truths, seek the Lord about it and ask him if it's through a song. Do you need to sing a song about it? Do you need to write? Do you need to dance it out? Do you need to type it out? Like, ask the Lord and seek him on how, Lord, am I going to get these saturated in every part of my being? And so I started writing them out, and I had a very unexpected conversation that was already kind of in a frazzle, and it just kind of hit me like the Kansas wind when you step outside of your door. And I was just standing there after the conversation like, okay. And I asked one of the people I work with, I said, why do I feel so heavy right now? Why do I feel so gross? Like, what do I need to do to step out of this? Like, what happened? And they just said, go and be and read or write or do what you need to do to just get back to the Lord. And I was like, Andy just gave me these awesome declarations today. I'm going to go sit with these. And so that conversation that I had with the person, though, I was struggling with how I was looking at them because of the way that they reacted to the conversation we were having. And I knew that I didn't want to have those thoughts and see that person the way that I was. And so instead of just writing down, I am loved, Emma is accepted, Emma is a child of God, I put their name in it. And I said, they are loved, they are accepted, they are a child of God. And I got that from my amazing mama, because when she prays for her kids and for her husband, she puts our names into her Bible and into her scriptures. And she prays for us just as it says that Jesus sits in heaven and he prays for us. And so I would encourage you to put your kids' names in these. Speak these over your kids. Speak them verbally to your kids. Say, you are loved. You are a child of God. And just, you are a new creation. I am not condemning you right now, because the Lord does not condemn you, because you are free of condemnation. So that's what these are for every day this week. And I encourage you, if you have a testimony of how the Lord works through these, because I am full and expectant that the way he worked through them in me today, he's going to work through you guys this week. So if you have a testimony, share it to your group. Call your group leader. Call someone you don't even know. Put it on Facebook. Use your social media. Plaster it. Tell people how the Word of God is transforming your life. So that's what this is for.
First one to get kicked off Facebook because they share too many Jesus posts graduates Revive early. Just teasing. Hey, you got to do everything out of love. Follow the Holy Spirit, do everything out of love. Hey, we're going to talk about because of Jesus. What you got to know about your identity in Christ is it's not of anything that you could do, and so it's not of anything that you can lose. It's only because of Jesus. If it's of something you can do, then you can lose it. But if it's of something that Jesus has already done, then there's nothing you can do. You can walk away from it. You can deny it. You can act like you aren't what you are. You can live outside of it. But you cannot remove the power of the cross. And I love that it's Easter week. I love that on Good Friday, I mean, guys, everything changed because of Jesus. If you've ever thought, God, it's so hard. I would just love for you to think about being in the old covenant where they could never even cry out to God. They'd have to go, they'd have to go to the guy who talks to God, and they'd have to say, hey, could you tell God it's pretty hard for us down here? And maybe he could. We have an opportunity to cry out to God. We have an opportunity to have a face-to-face relationship with not only a good Lord, but a mighty Father. And it's all because of Jesus. And so next time you think, well, maybe I'm supposed to carry this. Insert whatever you're not supposed to carry. Maybe I'm just supposed to struggle with this my whole life. Maybe I'm just, what you are saying is maybe the power of the cross doesn't work here. And I'm telling you, that's offensive to your spirit. Maybe Jesus didn't cover this sin. Maybe Jesus didn't cover this addiction. Maybe Jesus didn't cover this thing that happened to me. And so we hold on to it. And we reason. And I'll just tell you, the whole world will agree with you. They will agree with you and say, oh, you have every right to think that. And we do not, absolutely do not want to be what the world says you can be. If I know anything, if you don't know the Word of God, you know, you can know you don't want to be what the world gives you permission to be. Because it's nothing good. It's just the lowest common denominator. Hey, come be miserable with us. Come be on medication with us. Come be angry with us. Come be unforgiven with us. Come be, I'm good. Come hang out with us where we're drowning our sorrows. What are you drowning your sorrows in? Stuff that causes you to make bad decisions? I'm hurting, but I'm going after Jesus. I'm struggling, but I'm going after Jesus. And so we've got to recognize that this isn't like, oh, well, Beth, she prays a lot, and so I'm sure that she does have an identity in Christ, but not so much me. I haven't prayed this week. I feel distant. I didn't do... Emma, she writes people's names right before scriptures. That's really nice. Never done that. Probably Jesus doesn't love me like he does Emma. Maybe if I had a full-time job at a church, I could do that. Let me just tell you, things probably we hired Emma because of her relationship with God and because it was mature enough for her to work at a church. Because it gets harder when you work at a church. It gets harder when your job and your walk with God merge in this place, and then you see people who you guys are all like, man, they're amazing, and then we get to experience, like, ministry's tough. Ministry's tough. Emma gets to see me in my rawest. And I'm telling you, I'm probably going to have to apologize to her one of these days if I haven't already. Because, so, it's not all what it's cracked up to be. If you're invited to work at a church, you better check your spiritual life. I don't know why I just said all that. 3 hours of prep, guys. The blood of Jesus, the work of the cross, is more powerful than the fall of Adam. I'm going to talk about identity, and if we're going to talk about identity, we got to talk about Jesus. Because the world will remind you of your sin, but Jesus will remind you of his sacrifice. And so everything your thought life, if it's not pointing back to the work of the cross, it's flesh. Well, I deserve this. If your prayer sounds like this, God, I've been working really hard, so if I can have this promotion, it would just be, I think, I'm ready for this. And let me just tell you, it's of nothing that you deserve. It's of everything that Jesus has already done. Hey, God, you know where I'm at, and you know what I'm struggling with, and you know, I know what the price you paid, and I know that you have a great plan for me, and I want to make sure I'm not missing it. Well, that's a good prayer. God, it's all on you, and I just want to make sure I'm right in the spot that you've called me to be. If we're going to talk about who we are, it only can exist because of who he is. It can only exist because we serve a risen Savior who's paid a powerful price to restore your relationship with God, because you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And so we've got to, if you're going to acknowledge your identity, it's because of Jesus. And if you're going to walk away from that identity, it's going to be because you don't think enough of Jesus. But if you think highly of Jesus and of the sacrifice that he gets, then all of a sudden you raise up a little faster in the morning. And every time it's like, man, I'm not equipped. You can say that all you want. God's put me in a place, and he's not going to leave me here. in my weakness, his strength can be made perfect. Our identity is not of anything that you can do. It's of everything. Everything you do has to be from what he's already done, the finished work of the cross. I'm going to get to, like, Tiff said, well, what are you preaching on? I said, identity. She's like, that's kind of your soapbox. I'm like, I know, they're in for it. So God will remind you of who you are and whose you are. Whose you are. The enemy will remind you of your past. He will accuse you of your failure, and he will tempt you to exist outside of Jesus. Jesus is never reminding you of your failures. He may highlight where you struggle because he wants to bring freedom into those areas too. Where he's saying, and you're like, man, if you're feeling condemnation, if you're feeling conviction where God is calling you higher, you should listen to him right now. Because what he's saying is your life sucks compared to where it could be. And you're willing to live in the suck, and I'm telling you, let's just quit doing it. I've already paid the price for you to exit out of that. See, it's like Bible school. You can say that. I think on Sunday, Tiff's not here, so whatever. The challenge tonight is to see yourself as God sees you. Everyone in here is challenged to see and to approach each day as a new creation, hidden in Christ with a clean record. To approach God as a good father and one who believes in you. I was one day praying. I ended up praying with a man. I was going to my car and I was headed home. And Tiff, it was one of those days where I was running late, which rarely ever happens. And I left and I just sent Tiff a text because she said, are you coming home for dinner? I don't want you to be late. And I said, I'll head to the car. And on the way to the car, there's a guy standing right in between the two roads. And I went up to him. His name was Alan, and he starts to tell me he's from Israel, and he's got a blanket over his shoulders, and you can just tell he's in transition, and he's sleeping outside. And I said, Alan, are you from here? And he said, no, I'm from Israel. My dad, you know, and he started telling me a story, and immediately God told me he is valuable. And what hit me was this. He didn't say he's potentially valuable. He didn't say he has potential. He said he is in a place where he's addicted and he has nothing and he can only ask for things and he has nearly nothing that we would consider a contribution to society. And God highlighted him and he says, tell him he's valuable. Tell him he's got purpose. And it hits me that if God thinks that about, and he's done nothing, and all he is in a and how much more, like, what is he saying about you? He's saying the exact same thing. Because we're not what our decisions. The enemy will accuse us and say, well, yeah, I mean, you were good. Jesus did buy you, but you screwed it up. That's not the gospel. Steve, is that the gospel? It's not the gospel. The gospel is this. While you were still enemies of God, while you were still separated, Jesus paid the price for you. But the chance that you would wake up and recognize that you were the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. At the chance that he could have a relationship with you. And just like he's saying to Alan, who is an alien and he's not from here, and he's here and he's struggling to figure out how to exist here, and he's struggling to remember who he is, and God says, tell him he's valuable. And we each need to hear that from our Father. My kids need to hear that. If it's been too long, if it's been 10 minutes since last time I told them they're valuable. Because the Father God's always whispering that in our ears. When you stop from the rushing of the world and the deadlines and the taxes are coming up and it's Easter and I don't have a dress, who cares? Who cares? But they're going to have a photo booth and they're going to take pictures and that's who cares? Be you. It's not going to get you any closer to the kingdom. You know what's going to get you closer to the kingdom? Stopping for 5 minutes and saying, whoa, God, what do you say about me? What does your word say about me? Do what Emma talked about. Meditate on his word. Speak that over yourself. Speak that over your kids. All of a sudden, it doesn't really matter all these things that are coming. All of a sudden, you are being who you were created to be. The topic of who we are is because of Jesus, and it's bigger. I believe that the identity of Christ, and listen, I was taught salvation in my Baptist church growing up. I was taught all about the discipline of the Christian life in my Wesleyan church growing up. And what I wasn't taught was that we're pure, that we've been made righteous. And no matter what decision you just made last night or what you made today, that you have the opportunity to be righteous today if you'll just recognize what Jesus has done in your life. And when nobody taught me that, I lived a life feeling like I was unworthy of the sacrifice that Jesus has made. And then Jesus and the Word of God says, we not only are worthy, we were created for relationship with God. That's the whole reason why your flesh exists. The difference between you and a donkey is God chose you to have a relationship with and to rule over. We were always designed for a relationship with God since day one. And the enemy's always wanted what we have. We heard that, right? Last week we heard, like, the enemy always, we're meant to humiliate the devil. Man, that like fired me up. You guys have to share that video. I not only have victory over the enemy, I'm going to humiliate the enemy. By how? By recognizing who I am now. And if we're not careful, we'll let our good deeds be the reason why we get to have I've attended church 4 weeks in a row. 40 weeks in a row. I've read my Bible this week, so I'm worthy of entering into where I should get a new level of worship this week. And I'm telling you, it does not work that way. That's not what's between you and God. It's Jesus. It's always been Jesus, and it's never going to be anything but Jesus. Well, what's Easter about? It's about Jesus. It's about a living God who paid a price for you, and that price wasn't just so you can go to heaven one day. That price was so that you can experience heaven right now, so that you can experience your kingdom. You say, well, I've lost my job, and I've lost my value, and it doesn't feel that none of that was supposed to be valuable to you in the beginning. Your job is only a gift from God on how you create for your family. You were built to create. And so if you feel like, well, I'm just not thriving in this area, or maybe you feel like you are thriving in this area, and now you have right, it doesn't give you rights. Your good job or your bad job, who you are is a product of whose you are. That's it. You'll never be able to add anything to the equation. You'll only be able to live from a benefit of Jesus. Well, that's how we're doing it. There's people that are doing it with Jesus and through revelation of Jesus, and there's people who are doing it without Jesus. There's a lot of people in churches that are doing it without Jesus. There's a lot of people who have given their life to God but haven't recognized God in their life. And we are called not to do that, okay? So we're going to get in the scriptures a little bit. Let's just review the cross. Romans 5:19. If you guys did not bring your Bibles, seriously? I'm serious. You got to recognize that, like, Andy, like, loses marks for every person that doesn't have their Bible in here tonight. Demoted. If nothing else, the Word of God, it has to be alive and active in your life. Revelation on identity is going to come from the promises of God's Word. So Romans 5:19 says, "For by one man's sin, that was Adam, many were made sinners. And so also by one man's obedience," whose obedience is that? Jesus, many were made righteous. I love this because it's like it's the scriptures are saying this. Whoa, if you think Adam can screw it up, can't you believe that Jesus can make it better? Some of us have more faith in Adam's sin than we have in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Salvation one day, but Adam, I know that well. Let me just tell you, Adam can't sin as good as Jesus can save. And we got to get this. Why do we have to get this? Why do we have to get this? Because you have to break the idea that it's by your works. Because it's okay. Let me just tell you, here's a real comfortable conversation you have in here. Nobody knows about, but everybody has the same conversation. Man, if I could just, I mean, I get it. God wants to heal, but probably not use me because I mean, I was fasting Dr. Pepper, and I broke my fast, and so you know, I really tried to do that whole, like, tithing thing, and I, 9% is not 10%, so probably not going to use me. Or, like, man, I really wanted to, but and I, like, cussed at my husband last night, and I lost it. And you just start rattling through this, like, self-doubt, and you're accusing yourself. The enemy doesn't have to, the enemy is not doing much in the world. We're doing most of it all by ourselves. We're accusing ourselves pretty good. And we're reasoning, well, I mean, I know God's good, and I know this word's true, and it's yes and amen, but I'm not good, and so it's probably not going to work in my life. And this thought life we have. And if you believe that it's your righteousness that leads to yes and amen in the promises, then all of a sudden, this sounds really good. Well, I mean, God's good, but I mean, I need to do more. But what we're saying is this. God's word's true, but Jesus didn't do it for me. The cross isn't enough for me. If we recognize that everything has to come from Jesus, then it's like, well, it's not because of me. People are like, hey, you know, like, whatever accolades you get, and it's like, good job at your job, good job, because it's like, it's all Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It's like, no, it's all Jesus. If we let it be like, oh, I mean, it's kind of me. No, it's all Jesus. Because here's the place. We got to live in this place where it's all Jesus, because I've got to remind myself when I feel like, well, I mean, are you good enough to be able to do that? Are you good enough to be able? My dad was at church on Sunday. I didn't introduce him. It was like big fail. Let me just tell you, if your parents drive 6 hours to go to church and it's the first time you're a senior pastor with your parents in the crowd, you should like introduce them to people. And I knew that because there was a lot going on Sunday, like some really cool stuff. The 11 o'clock service, 9 o'clock service. The 11 o'clock service, there was healings breaking out, and we had just the a flood of people come forward for healings. And my dad was one of the first people to pop up and come forward. He fell down a flight of stairs, and what should have killed him, honestly, it should have, if nothing, it should have taken 10 years off of his life. He fell all the way down these flights of stairs, huge flight of stairs, landed on concrete. And he didn't have any broken bones, but he had this concussion, and he'd been going to his chiropractor. Say amen for chiropractors. he went to his chiropractor, who came in on Saturday, and he said, I don't understand how you don't have broken bones. He said, you don't even have bruised, like, I just don't get it. But his body was bruised and obviously been through a lot of trauma, and for 3 weeks he had this mild concussion. And I've never had a mild concussion, but anybody had a concussion, like, there's just like constant aching. He was living off ibuprofen, and so he came forward for healing, and I'm like, gosh, I'm gonna pray for my dad. And so I just went and prayed for him, and after service I like looked at him, and like, this is what, like, sometimes it takes boldness to ask this question. I'm like, how you doing? And he's like, I'm so good. Like, I haven't not had a headache in 3 weeks. And he's like, and he's going, I can do this. You know, he's been working. He's a dentist, and he's been and he can't lift his arm. But he's like, Tim, look, I can do this. And my mom's like, okay, honey, just calm down. Calm down. And I'm telling you, there was a thought that came in that said, don't, if you pray with him and he doesn't get healed, he's going to be disappointed. If you pray, and I'm telling you, who is that? It's probably me, but it sounds a lot like the accuser. And you know what it doesn't sound like? By his stripes, we are healed. So it will try to stop your boldness from just coming down to one step and just saying, can I pray with you? It will stop your boldness from over lunch. You'll just eat lunch with your coworker instead of bringing them to Jesus Christ. Instead of telling them about an incredible place that you worship and just saying, hey, you should come to this place. It will stop you because, well, what if he doesn't? Let me just tell you, Jesus always does what Jesus does. But it's not because of anything that you've done. It's because of what Jesus has already done. He didn't, Adam, you guys tell me, what did Adam do for God? I mean, nothing. There's an incredible relationship story here because God brought Adam's wife to him. Okay? Adam didn't even look for his wife. He did nothing. He did nothing, and yet he was given authority over the whole world. It says that God was co-creating with him. God would make an animal, and he'd send it over to Adam, and Adam would be like, cow. I'm sure he was just like, at one point he's just like throwing out sounds like, whatever. Like he's just, it was his joy to co-create with who he created. And it's still his joy to hand out the kingdom through you. Are you guys getting this? Genesis 27. Ha. Really? Genesis 27. We're going to get to some worship in here. Sherry Daly's going to. Genesis 27 is a story about Isaac, Esau, and Jacob. And I want you to get this because it's a shadow of Father God, of Jesus, and of ourselves. The real Bob, will you come up here real quick? Can you come up here real quick? Have you guys met the real Bob? I've been around Bob a few times. Mariska, will you come up here real quick? Bob, stand right here. You can't hear me? Yeah. The real Bob, I've been around the real Bob a few times, and if he meets another Bob, he says, well, are you Bob or are you Robert? And most of the time they say, well, I'm Robert. He goes, well, I'm the real Bob. I'm Bobby. Isn't that what he says, Rhonda? Every time. He's the real Bob.
Not quite like that.
I know. A little deeper. I can't get that deep. So you're standing in a great place, okay? You be you. I'll represent Father God, and you represent Jesus. And are you okay with that? Here's how we think God sees us, like this. Okay, you stay there. We think God sees us like this. And it's like, man, God, I can't. I mean, look at all the stuff I brought. And we think that there's something that what we've brought can separate us from. God can't. What about God can't look at sin? And so we think that it's like this, but it's not like this. Our relationship with God can never be like this. It was like that for Adam, and Adam brought sin in. And so Adam brought sin in. And so Jesus had to insert himself into the picture. And so every time, the real Bob, I want you to stand right here. I want you to look at me. Every time God looks at you, he's got to look through the work of the cross. He's got to look through Jesus. And so now when you go to Father God and you say, God, I need you to remind me what I'm supposed to do. You know what he sees? Jesus asking him, remind me of what she's supposed to do. And you know what he's going to give you? Everything that's Jesus. That's what the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Do you see this? You're righteous because it's coming. You need to look at me. Just like you there, squared up. I don't know what's happening right there. Yes. But you see how this works? Like Jesus stands in between us. And so everything that's his is now yours. And everything this is why it says it's his great love to work in and through us. Jesus is doing everything you're doing. When you say, when you pray with somebody for healing, or when you pray with somebody for salvation, or when you pray, God, when you pray the will of God, his promises, he's hearing Jesus' voice. Here's what's also awesome. The enemy hears that same voice. The enemy hears the voice of God when you command him to go. When you say, you have no place in my life, you have to flee. You know what? He's not hearing you. He's hearing God. He's hearing Jesus through the salvation of Christ. You're speaking. And if we're not careful, we will remove Jesus out of the picture. The real Bob, you can go sit back and sit down. And all of a sudden, it's like the accuser now says, well, yeah, you're not good enough to represent God. But you are always covered with Jesus. And so I don't know what like, it doesn't matter. You can sit down too. Thanks. It doesn't matter. You loved that, didn't you? It doesn't matter what we do. It matters what Jesus has done. Now you say, well, Tim, what about works? Faith without works is dead. Let me just tell you, when you get a revelation for who you are, you can't help but do things that build the kingdom. And I'm telling you, if you're not doing things, if you're using your salvation to live for yourself, you're wasting it, okay? You're living a pitiful, miserable life. Your works will never get you, but you're created for good works through Christ Jesus. You're created to be partnered. It won't get you, it won't, Jesus has already brought you everything you need. If people say, what about the church? Is there, you know, does the church let homosexuals in? Does your church let homosexuals in, Tim? I don't know one individual. I've never known one individual that was able to make their own righteousness. And I've never known one individual. Let me just tell you, Tim Fruits himself was unrighteous and far from God until I had Jesus. And so my sin, the sin that I lived in, until I said, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life, I had no power to overcome sin. But the moment I brought Jesus into the picture, all of a sudden, so Tim, can, yes, bring it. Because the transforming power of Jesus Christ is good for everybody. And great, and well, but what, and I'm telling you, there's these stupid thoughts out there that say that, what if the church is flooded with sin? And I'm telling you, our church, the church is flooded with righteousness. And what we carry, come on, what we carry is more contagious than anything we faced in 2020. What we carry when we don't shut our mouth and we let it out of us changes everything. And are you afraid? I'm not. Here's what I'm not afraid of. I'm not afraid of the world making, I'm not afraid of sin making sinners out of righteous. I know that righteous makes righteous out of sinners. And so if you've got somebody in your life and it's like, well, it's like, look, you just got to practice bringing righteousness everywhere you go. Well, maybe what I'll say is offensive. Oh, it's going to be. It's, righteousness is offensive to sin. But when done out of love, don't walk into that room without having declared God's promises for them. And when done in love, when you have labored in prayer and you said, God, I'm telling you, righteousness is contagious. And you walk out of there, it's like, well, what about the oppression? No. You think Jesus was concerned? You are covered in Jesus. Turn to Genesis 27. Is that what I said? Genesis 27. I'm going to skip through some notes here. Genesis 27, and I'm just going to paraphrase. It's Jacob, Isaac, and Esau. And Esau is the rightful owner of the blessing. I want you to understand this. Esau deserves it, Jacob doesn't. Esau deserves the blessing, and Jacob doesn't. And Isaac is in failing health, and he reaches out to Esau, who deserves the blessing. And he says, Esau, come close. He said, Esau, my son. And he can't see. And he said, I'm here. Well, I'm listening. And he says, hey, I'm getting old in age. And so I need you to go out, and I need you to hunt the best and make that meal that I love that you make. And bring it back, because I want to have a conversation with you. Now, Esau knows that the blessing conversation is coming. Okay? And Esau's mom, who's kind of a, it's the weird part of the story. She says, hey, Esau is Isaac's favorite. Jacob is her favorite. And she says, Jacob, you're about to lose your blessing. And so here's what we're going to do. You're going to go into your father who can't see very well right now, and you're going to act like Esau, and you're going to go get the blessing that belongs to him. And Jacob, he's at this point, is kind of like, dad's not a dummy. He's going to know that I'm not Esau. Esau's hairy, and I'm like a clean-cut dude. Like, have you seen him? He hasn't shaved ever, and, like, I work at Abercrombie and Fitch. I don't know what to do, Mom. And he said, and she says, "Don't worry, we're gonna like cover you in animal hair." And I must have been one hairy dude, and it'll be fine. And he says, "But if he knows who I am, the blessing will be stolen from me. Most of us are gonna live right in this place. If God found out who I was, yeah, Jesus is good. But if God knows who I am, the kingdom's not going to work for me. His blessing's not going to be on me." And he goes in, dressed like Esau, covered like Esau. And he says, "Hey, I'm Esau." And he says, "You sound like Jacob." And he says, "But I'm Esau." and he receives the blessing. Okay? He says, "How'd you make the food so fast?" And he's like, "Well, I mean, I did it quick for you, Dad." And so he sits down, he eats with him, and he gives him, he gives Jacob Esau's blessing. Esau comes back and he's like, "What the heck?" And I want you to see in this story, Father God is represented in Isaac. He can't see. He can't tell the difference between Esau and Jacob. He's blind. All we can feel, it feels like Esau. And he gives the blessing of Christ. He gives the blessing of Christ to you because you're covered in Christ. Do you guys see this? You're covered in Christ, and so he gives you this blessing. And when Esau came back and he said, "All right, Dad, you made a mistake." And he says, "I don't think you understand. I get that I made a mistake, but I've made him the master of all. You now have to serve your brother." God, no matter what, is not going to remove his blessing from your life because you're covered in Christ. Do you understand this? If we understand this, we've got to respond. If we understand this, we don't just leave this church tonight and say, "Man, that was good, that was good." We go share the video. We got to wake somebody up and say, "You don't understand." And they say, I don't get it. I'm not good enough." And it's like, yes, you'll never, it's not of anything that you've done. Now listen, did he do it so that you stay in a place of sin? Some people will say, God's made me righteous, so might as well go out on Friday night. God's made me righteous, so I might as well, yeah, you are living the worst life possible. You have a knowledge of God, but you deny his power in your life. Cold or hot, but don't recognize Jesus and do nothing with it. We have to recognize Christ in our life. We have to recognize that it's of nothing that we've done. It's this image right here. Maybe you've seen me do this demonstration before, but it's my favorite thing because I want to all the time think that my sin stands between me and God. My mindset stands between me and God. And the only thing that stands between you and God is the finished work of the cross. And that's why Jesus said it is finished. Jesus endured the separation from God so that we would never have to. And so what are you doing now that you aren't separated from Christ? What are you doing now that you have a restored relationship with Father God? Because here's what you can do. Every promise is yes and amen. You can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or imagine. There's on your seat, there's an invitation. This is, are you guys coming to church? Or are you going to Jamaica? No, I'm not looking at anybody. If you're coming to church on Sunday, then this invite is not for you. It's for somebody else. If you're coming to church on Sunday and you've experienced salvation, then bring salvation to somebody else, okay? It's on your seat. The other thing is this. There's like 40 scripture verses of what Jesus has done. Because of Jesus, I'm a child of God. Because of Jesus, I'm hidden with Christ. Because of Jesus, I'm an heir to every one of the promises of God. Because of Jesus, I'm crucified with Christ and he lives in me. I'm complete in Christ. Because of Jesus, I'm cleansed and I'm purified. Because of Jesus, I have peace with God. Because of Jesus, I am saved from the wrath of God. I am able to come boldly to God, boldly to the throne room, and receive mercy and grace whenever I need it. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, and the blessings of Abraham are mine. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Over and over again, it's not of anything. Well, I mean, and it's not of anything you've done. And so if you leave with anything tonight, you got to leave with this. Ha, it didn't happen. If you leave with anything tonight, you got to leave with this. You guys will, this is what storming the gates of hell looks like. I'm going to go get what Jesus paid for. The world will accuse, and you guys are done accusing others, and you're done accusing yourself. Well, but they hurt me. Hey, you have been forgiven for you have been forgiven by Father God. You can forgive much. You go out and you just say, "I am going to live in the righteousness." Here's what you can do. You guys can take this paper and you can leave it on your seat. and get nothing from it. You can stick it in your Bible in one day, sometime down the road, or you guys can go to every scripture that's on here, and I dare you to find something else that's not written. I dare you to claim hold of the promises of who you are. Because when I got this, I was 20 years old sitting in Bible school, and I left Bible school. I got up and I left that day. There was like three more classes, and all the students are like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm the righteousness of, I am the righteousness. I don't know what anybody else is going to teach me that matters. Jesus has chosen me, and he's restored me, and there's nothing I can do to screw it up, and there's nothing I can add to it. I am the, like, did you guys just hear what they said? Did you read the same thing they were preaching? Because if you did, I don't care about hermeneutics. I don't, there's, what else are they going to teach me? I have to go home, and I have to grab this seed, and I have to bury it deep, because this is life-changing, and it challenges me to my core, because it's nothing that you can do. The only thing left to do, if Jesus has done everything, here's what you get to do. I believe. I believe what the Word says. I will quit condemning myself to a life outside of Jesus. I will quit condemning myself. I will quit bottling up just for me. Revival happens. It's so cute to wear these shirts. Or maybe you have like the super trendy black on black, where you have to like squint to see it. Anybody in here have that on? It's not a cute name. It is what we are meant to do when we grab hold that you're righteous. And that when you just said, "Jesus, I made you Lord of my life," he gave you so much more than you could ever ask or imagine. And so tonight, will you guys, if you sing well, can you come take the stage? Or if you play guitar? Or maybe you look like you work at Abercrombie & Fitch. Is Abercrombie & Fitch even open anymore? Sorry. Tell you my age. We're going to enter into worship, and I love how Revive has been designed, because it's designed to change your life. It's designed for you to be able to encounter a true risen Jesus Christ. Sherry Daly is going to come up, and she's going to lead us in communion. You guys have your communion cups? Here's what I want you to do. Communion is exactly you recognizing the identity you have in Christ. And all we do for the rest of our lives, it's real simple, all we do for the rest of our lives is say, "Jesus, your blood was enough. Your body was enough. What you have done is enough for whatever I'm going through, whatever situation I'm facing." And then all of a sudden, no matter what your plans were to do tomorrow, you're going to take Jesus, and it's going to look a little bit more fun. It's going to look a little bit more crazy. And some of you may lose your job, and I will not apologize for it. Because God's got better for you. This world needs a people that are dedicated to getting everything that Jesus paid for. What can you do for a Savior who gave his life for you? You can give your life for him. You can give your life to live out of the abundance that he's paid. To live righteous like he's made you. To recognize it's that dad that bought you a Ferrari and you put it in the car and you said, "I'm not worthy of driving a Ferrari." And he says, it's in your name. "Yeah, but I haven't done anything to deserve it." It's in your name. I gave it to you. There's no reason you have to live separate from God. Not for a moment more. We recognize the blood that's been laid down for us. We recognize Sherry, you just grab a microphone and start talking. We recognize, because I'm about to do communion without you. We recognize the body that's been broken, and I dare you to not to be healed. I dare you not to experience every promise that God has for you. "Well, but I don't understand it." Yeah, that's not a promise. The promise is you get it. The promise is it's been given to you. The promise is you'll experience it in yes and amen. You guys for that? Can Revive be? If we're not for that, then let's just not meet next week. If we're not for standing for everything that Jesus paid, then we're just playing church on Tuesday nights. But if we're for that, then I'm not worried. How are you going to raise your kids in a time where identity, it doesn't matter. My kids have Jesus. I'm righteous, and my righteousness is contagious. My kids are going to help liberate people. God's got everything they need. And he's placing you guys around him to speak life into him and to raise him up to be world changers. God's doing something awesome, and the enemy is so scared that we might wake up to our righteousness. And I'm telling you, he should run. He should run, because we're restoring machines. We're those who have been restored and those who are bringing restoration, and that's what revival is.